thinking when it's talking about reaching out, I was thinking how that so many things, when you look at nearly everything I could think of in the Bible, God always, or Christ always, required the person that was going to be in the receiving to extend themselves. They all had to get out of that comfort zone. Stretch forth thine hand. Been withered since I was born. Take up thy bed and walk. Well, man, I've been like this for... Silver and gold have I none. They took him by the right hand, such as I have. You got to extend yourself. Look on us. And so many times we sit back and want God to do all these things, but we don't extend ourselves. But God sometimes is waiting for you to reach out. And the Bible says in one place that there was a violent storm and the disciples was on the boat and Jesus was walking on the water. And it said they cried out to him and it said he would have passed them by. But because they extended themselves, he answered. Four men had a friend that was sick in a bed. They carried him to Jesus. There was a crowd of people. And, well, they could have said, well, we'll come back later. You know, you'll be all right. You've been like this for so many years. One more day won't hurt. We'll wait till the crowd slows down. No. They extended themselves. They found a way, now can you imagine, found a way for these four men to get a man in a bed on top of a roof, must have brought a skill saw with them or something, a hacksaw or something. They tore the tiling off of the roof and they let him down. They had ropes and everything with them and let the man down. They were prepared right in front of Jesus. They extended themselves. And guess what? Thy sins be forgiven. Take up thy bed and walk. All because they did that. If they would have just saw the crowd and walked away, they'd have left just like they came. And anything we're going to get from God, whether it be when you come to church or in your prayer or anything. Even Elisha, he prayed, Lord, after 3.5 years of no rain, Lord, let it rain. Go check. Man come back and said, no, no rain. The Bible says he prayed more fervently. He began to extend himself. And when he extended himself and prayed more fervently, go check now. And on the seventh time, which means that I'm totally extended. That was that perfected. I see the cloud of the side of the man's hand. And what he said was, tell Ahab, I hear the abundance of rain. Yes. That's all it was a cloud of the size of a man's hand. Just tell him, I hear the abundance. It all starts. Never despise the day of small beginnings. Many things start small, but they'll grow. And if we will just extend ourselves... Oh, that's not even my sermon. We can reap the benefits of what God has for us. He extended himself. Woo, he extended himself. He went to the nth degree. No greater love hath any man. He laid down his life. That's extending yourself. I've had people that I know were my friends pass me by when I had a flat. I've had people say, I saw you clipping your bushes when I passed by the yard. I thought, sister, I got a pair of gloves. You can stop and help me if you want to. Somebody's got to pick them up after I clip them. Sometimes we need to extend ourselves. Amen. I'm still registered at Academy too, y'all. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 through 12. And then 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. They're working together. For if they fall, the one will lift his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. But watch this. And a threefold cord, when you put God in the mix, is not easily broken. My, my, me, you, and God, we can conquer the world. Hallelujah. And so 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says, now abideth these three. Faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. I just got a simple title tonight, these three. These three. Me, you, and God, faith, hope, and charity. These three. are unstoppable. Lord, I come to you tonight. I am so grateful for this place and this word, this people. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful, Lord, to be in America. People can complain if they want to, but I'm still thankful for the country that we live in, for I can stand here and pray and teach, and nobody is after me tonight. I thank you for that. And God, I do wish the world would get better, but if it's not, I'm going to look to you for my help in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I pray that way often. I tell you, sometimes I turn the water on, and when it's hot, I go to shouting. Woo! Thank the Lord. I don't mean nothing by this, but sometimes what we flush down the commode, other people would drink. And yet we complain. No, I'm serious. And yet we complain. What we throw down the garbage disposal, people wish they could have that. And yet we complain. God fed them manna, and yet they complain. He gave them water out of the rock, and yet they complain. Hallelujah. They will say we need to wake up and smell the roses. God is good no matter how you slice it. These three, the word abide, he said, now abideth these three. That word abide means to remain. It means to continue with. Meaning after everything else is gone, this is what's still there. It abideth, it dwelleth there. And there are a lot of things in life, amen, that comes and goes. There's a lot of people in your life that comes and goes. There's people you used to be really close to when you were growing up in school, and now you hardly know them. And so there's a lot of things that come and go. There are things in your life that you thought a lot of when you were younger. As you got older, you like, what was I thinking? Why was that so important to me back then, and now it's unimportant to me? Like the old song, Amazing Grace, that when we finally get there, we lay all of our trophies down. All the things you thought was important in life, you find out they're not important. And the closer you get to God, the less important you realize stuff is in life. And the closer you get to the end of your journey, the more you realize God's really what matters anyway. You look at the book of Ecclesiastes, that's the preacher talking, that's the man talking. And he says Solomon had all of these things, but when he gets down to the end of his life, he said it was vanity, vanity and vexation of my soul. That's what it did to me. All these things I got slowed my soul down. And so I wish tonight that we could, you know, grow up quick in God. Grow up quick in God. And even in our spiritual life, there are things that come and go in church. There's styles of music that change. There's a dress that change. I mean, as I told you about my old corduroy coat with the big lapel on it, you know, that it changed. And now I still wished I had it, but I don't fit it anymore. So it, because I changed a little bit. And you change when you get older, whether you think you do or not. I promise you, you do. And there are things that change not only in this life, but they change also as we mature in Christ. So that a lot of things when you were young in the church, you thought that was really important. You know, that was some good preaching. Boy, that was some good. And now you're like, that wasn't nothing. I listened to some sermons that I heard years ago I thought were fabulous. I'm like, he didn't say anything. All he was doing was screaming and hollering, and I thought that was good. But he didn't say anything. But back then, when I was young in the Lord, I thought that was it. I know y'all think I'm too old now because all I want to do is teach the word, teach the word, teach the word. But Lord, that's where I'm at in life. So I got to teach you where I'm at, right? All right, thank you. So you as you grow up and mature in life and things change and life has its ups and downs, but now abideth these three. Now abideth these three. These three things I want to talk to you about tonight need to be with you all the time. No matter what comes in your life, no matter what goes in your life, these three things cannot change in your life. If they change, I promise you, everything else changes. Their faith, their hope, and their charity. Paul opens up this chapter as he talks to the Corinthian church. He starts talking like this. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, it's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and though I bestow my gifts, my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. He starts talking about all these things that you could do. But he says at the end of the chapter, the only thing that's going to remain, it's not going to be prophecy. It won't be tongues. It won't be singing. It won't even be worship. What's going to be left is faith, hope, and charity. These three. For he says in that chapter, let's read the ninth verse. He said, for we know in part. How many of you know it? Any got any know-it-alls in here tonight? There's some people think they know it all. And like a sign I saw over someplace, it said, leave home while you're 18 and you know it all. For we know in part. This is a wise man. This is the smartest man of the Bible writing this. And he said, I don't know everything. Oh, he said, oh, that I may know him. For we know in part, and he said, we even prophesy in parts. It's only in parts. It's not the whole thing. But watch. But when that which is perfect, when the whole thing gets here, when it comes, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So something's going to leave. And there's some things I understand so much clearer now than I did when I was younger in the Bible. So you know what? Those things I knew in part, I said, I don't need that anymore. Well, I want the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I want to be made whole. The Bible consists of parts. You know, it's got Genesis all the way to Revelation. But you put it together, it's the whole thing. So you can't base your religion off of some Romans chapter 10 or some do this and one thing and you're saved. No, it's the whole book. Even Jesus said, lo, in the volume of the book, it was written of me to do thy will, O God. From the beginning to the end. It's the whole thing. So when the whole thing gets here, when Christ returns, we won't have any need for prophecy. You won't feel so smart after all when he gets back. There won't be any need for anybody speaking in tongues. We're going to be known even as we're known of him. All these parts will fade away. But until that day gets here, there are three things that must remain. Three things. That's got to stay. Paul said, when I was a child, he's looking back. He said, you know what? Lord, I spake like a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. You can't give a 10-year-old the keys to a car. And sometimes even in living for God, you can't get people to do things that they're not mature enough to do. Lest the 10-year-old says, yeah, I can drive it, and they get in the car and they get in a bad accident. Same thing in here. The Bible says, do not put a novice in office. But he said, when I became a man, and I've said this many times, he didn't say my mama put my childish things away. My daddy told me to quit playing with paper airplanes. No, what he said, when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Nobody had to tell me it was time to put up dolls. Put them up on my own. I didn't play with dolls. Except with Melanie. I was Ken and she was Barbie. And so there come a time that you put away these child. He said, when I matured, I put away the parts. Because I got the whole thing now. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, the Bible says it will lead you and guide you into some truth. Part of the truth. A little of the truth. No, it says it leads you and guides you into the whole truth. So when you find the whole truth, you say, Lord, that part that I had, that wasn't the whole thing. That there was good, but it wasn't the whole thing either. But when you put it all together, you get the whole thing. And that's what Christ wants us to have, is the whole thing. Now abideth. Through all these ups and downs, Paul says, I've grown up. I understand now better than I ever did. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, I know the day's coming. He's coming back. I'll see him. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known of him. Meaning that I will then know him like he knows me. Because he knows everything about you, but I don't know everything about him. But the day will come, we'll know each other. I'll see him face to face, for we shall be like him. Oh, hallelujah, that excites me. But for now, everyone say for now. For now abideth these three things, faith, hope, charity. He said, we're just looking through a glass darkly. We just have parts. And these three parts must remain. Faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So these three parts are the foundation of a Christian's living. It is that threefold cord that if you put it together should never be broken. And I didn't have time to get to some thread tonight, but we could do that. You take a piece of yarn and you take one, you can break it. You take two and okay, I broke it. But you take three and you wind them together like they do ropes, you can't break it. So he said, if these threefold cord, they're intertwined, faith, hope, charity, it's intertwined in everything you do in life so that everything you do in life will be prosperous if it's mixed with faith, hope, and charity. These three must abide. It is the foundation upon which everything else is built. These three must remain. Everything is built upon faith, hope, and charity. Not just two of them. I have faith and I have hope. It won't work. I have hope and I have charity. It won't work. It's built upon the blending together of faith, hope, and charity. Everything in life must be built on faith. Even everything. You hear me? Everything. Your marriage has to be built on faith, hope, and charity. Mm-hmm. That's right. Marriage is like that. People that don't have faith in their spouse, you want me to tell you something? They don't love them. You can disagree if you want to, but I'm telling you the truth. This is what the book says. They got to be together. You can't be worried about your husband and wife cheating on you all the time and say, I love you too. You can't sleep with the enemy and rebuke it too. You can't. It's a threefold cord. And you have to have all three of these so that I'm not laying awake at night. I love you, but what time do you come in? Where have you been all night long? If my wife questioned me like that, I'd say, you don't love me. But I don't let her leave her hanging like that either. Are y'all still with me? If you build your relationship in Christ just on hope and not have faith or charity, it won't last. Even if you build your business and you say, well, I'm going to go in business because I want to be rich. You won't never be rich. And if you are, you won't enjoy it. A business even has to be built on faith, hope, and charity. You have to love your business. You have to mix with people. You have to have faith in people. People have to have faith in you. It's these three things that builds everything. What I'm trying to tell you is it is the foundation of everything in life, including living for God. You know, in the parable that he talks about the foolish man and the wise man and the foolish man, they both built the same house. Right? The only difference was what? The foundation, right? And I've talked to y'all about digging. The difference was really the digging. Well, somebody extended themselves and said, I'm going to dig till I hit a good foundation. But when he finally got to the rock, he built the same house, the same boards, the same shingles, the same windows, the same siding as the other foolish guy. But when the winds and the waves came, the house that was built upon the sand fell. Now watch. Not only, and great was the fall of it. What happened was the sand moved and everything above the sand went down. But the man who built upon the rock, faith, hope, and charity, when the winds blew and the waves came and the storms and the rains pressed upon his house, it did not fall. What that tells me is when you build things upon faith, hope, and charity, then other stuff you build on it will last. That's what it tells me. When you build upon a sure foundation of these three must remain, you build on faith, hope, and charity, everything in life, then you know what? It'll stand the pressures of life. It'll stand there in spite of it. But if you don't have these three, then you will fold under the pressures of life. So these three must be left, even if everything else is destroyed. So just take for a minute that you are the devil. The devil comes but to seek to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Let me tell you, he's not after your stuff. He's after your foundation. He's after what you build upon. Because if he can get your foundation rocked and he can make you build upon the sand rather than say, hey, it's really too much to do all of that. It's too much to go to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. Let me just put a God in Dan and Beersheba and y'all go there. It'd be much easier. Wrong foundation, and it was destroyed. And so it is, if we are not careful, the devil seeks to destroy your foundation. For if the foundation of the righteous be destroyed, wherewith shall they stand? They can't stand. And so this foundation of faith,